In this Tuesday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast, the Ravens hold off a late comeback versus the Cowboys to pick up their first win of the season. Jaden Daniels having the best rookie show-out performance so far this year as the Commanders beat the Bengals on Monday Night Football and the Eagles winning in a slobber knocker in New Orleans. And along with that, our week three, top three, bottom three, a big upset weekend here for week three in the NFL. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You are listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich, and with me, predicting games is hard. Yeah, it is. Mr. CJ Medeiros joining us here. Oof, yeah, this was a tough week if you had the pick-ems going. I know I went on the run of betting or picking against the Panthers, and they end up smoking the Raiders.
I mean, we all did, you know. It's like we all picked against the Panthers.
Yeah. Giants beating the Browns, Colts beating, that's not much of a upset, but the Vikings going 3-0 this week, the Steelers getting a big win against the Chargers, the Broncos going to Tampa and getting a win, you name it, and you got it in terms of the upsets this week. And looking at, I mean, we'll just start out right now, Monday Night Football, Jaden Daniels with a huge performance in a big victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. As Jaden Daniels, I mean, they didn't ask him to do a lot, but boy, did he do a lot. 21 for 23, 254 yards and two touchdowns in this game, along with a rushing touchdown on 12 carries, 39 yards. Big loss, I guess, for Washington is that they ended up losing Austin Ekeler in the latter part of the game, but Brian Robinson ended up having a rushing touchdown himself. In general, this was just a big, big game for Washington. Terry McLaurin got himself four catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown as well. And big man Tutty, Trent Scott, the lineman, getting himself a receiving touchdown. The Commanders, I mean, they're probably not going to do a whole lot this year, but in terms of a rookie show-out performance and looking at how the other rookie quarterbacks have done, I mean, Bo Nix had himself a pretty good weekend this year against in Tampa, but Jaden Daniels surpasses that by a long shot.
You know something about the Commanders? I got to say, that's not bad for a college-style offense. Shout-out Bengals corner Cam Taylor-Britt. You got your word served to you on a silver platter, buddy. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 23. 254 yards, two touchdowns. Do the math. He had as many incompletions as he had touchdowns with two. That's pretty good. And on top of that, 39 yards on the ground and another tutty. So, yeah, I dare say that this probably was not probably this was the best rookie QB performance we have seen thus far this season. And I liked he was able to spread the ball around. Zach Ertz had five catches. Terry McLaurin, four catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. Heck, even Luke McCaffrey, a.k.a. the inferior McCaffrey, you know, hauled in three balls for 44 yards. And like you mentioned, we got a big boy touchdown. Lineman Trent Scott, good for him. And the Bengals. Look, let's not pretend the Bengals sucked. It was 38-33. It went right down to the wire.
They kept it close for the most part.
And listen to Burrow's numbers: 29 of 38, 324 yards, and three touchdowns. Jamar Chase went off finally, six catches, 118 yards, two touchdowns. Andre Yoshivas with 52 yards and a touchdown. T. Higgins back was kind of a non-factor, if I'm being real. Ground game was okay. I mean, Chase Brown, 62 yards. Zach Moss had 58 and a touchdown. It's just the defense. got absolutely annihilated. And this is a team that, for all intents and purposes, you should have beat. And the Commanders, like you said, no one really expects too much of them. Maybe they could make some noise. I mean, they did rout the Bengals. But in all honesty, maybe we should be talking about the Bengals because they're 0-3. The team with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and all that wonderful stuff is 0-3. And on top of that, your right tackle, Trent Brown, just like went down, and I think he's done for the year. Was it like a patellar tendon injury or something like that?
I thought he tore his ACL, but regardless, he's getting has to get surgery and he's done.
And as a Patriots fan, I say to you, Cincy fans, he probably wasn't trying anyway.
True.
And but yeah, other than that, what do you do with Cincy? Because I think I saw something somewhere. It's like, has a team that started out 0-3 ever made the playoffs?
Yeah, but your chances are just that much lower. I don't know which teams in the last 10 years have made the playoffs after starting 0-3. But I mean, the thing with the Bengals is that everyone knows that they suck for like the first 6 weeks of the year, but they're able to get some wins out of it at the very least.
Yeah,
but
I mean, even if they're not convincing wins, you're never 0-3.
Yeah. Joe Burrow in the months of September since getting drafted, 6-10-1 in his career in the month of September, to kind of give you an idea of how bad they are usually in the opening month of the season, but not 0-3. That is for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you anymore. I really don't when it comes to these Bengals. And I know he went to a Super Bowl, and I know people are going to freak out, but it's got to be coaching at this point, right? Because Zach Taylor is a good coach, but doesn't seem to be on that upper echelon of coaches. And we have always on this show attacked their offensive line coach, who, no matter what, seems to just suck. I mean, it doesn't matter what their personnel is, right? I mean, they spend all this money to overhaul the offensive line, and instead of having turnstiles, you now have gold-plated turnstiles. I mean, look, you could have, Bengals fans, listen up. You could literally have an offensive line with Trent Williams, Anthony Munoz, John Hanna, Jim Otto, and Jonathan Ogden, and you would still suck because your offensive line coach is that bad. He's got to be just chucked into the Great Lakes. And honestly, Zach Taylor should probably be with him, because when the roster is as good as it is and you still suck, then all signs are pointing to coaching.
Yeah, Bengals seriously have a problem. And there has only been one team in NFL history to make the playoffs after an 0-3 start, and that was the 2018 Houston Texans, after they lost to New England, Tennessee, and the Giants in their first three games. Ended up making the playoffs, not a Super Bowl, but that's just the difference. They ended up losing in the AFC wildcard round to the Colts that year. I'm trying to remember if that was a year that Deshaun ended up being hurt for the playoffs, but doesn't really matter. Point being, their chances are basically less than 1% of making the playoffs once you're 0-3. And that's why it was so big for our next game that we're going to be talking about here. The Ravens, who were 0-2 going into this game, get their first win as they beat the Cowboys. Sorry for the transition. Did you have anything else to touch on before we move on to the Ravens?
No, I said what I needed to say.
Yeah, it's we got to the what we needed to for the Commanders and Bengals. They are just in a Bengals are in a bad spot. But this was America's Game of the Week. Cowboys being America's Game of the Week 3 weeks in a row just makes me want to tear my eyes out. But
and especially so seeing they just lost
back-to-back, lost back-to-back times as well. But the Ravens getting a big win, and it was all led by Derrick Henry, 25 carries, 151 yards, two touchdowns. They actually ran the ball the way they're supposed to. Lamar had a pretty solid game, passing 12 for 15, 182 yards, a touchdown. No sacks allowed by this Ravens O-line either. And this is a Ravens O-line that was very, very undisciplined through the first 2 weeks of the season. There was a lot of problems with the O-line and that. And this week, basically no problems. I mean, if you can allow no sacks on your quarterback, that's a pretty big win, in my opinion. Problem is for the Ravens, Mark Andrews just is not involved in the offense at all at this point. It's a little redundant. But that's, I mean, if what you're doing is working at that point, then you might as well just stick with it. But yeah, Ravens are 1-2.
I don't know if you're the Cowboys, how you score 19 points unanswered in the fourth quarter and still lose. As for the Ravens, Lamar had a pretty mediocre day through the air. 12 of 15, 82 yards and a touchdown. However, I think he made up for that on the ground with 87 rushing yards and a touchdown there. But you want to know why the Cowboys lost? Derrick Henry.
Yep.
That man, he's a bad man. Let's be real. 25 carries, 151 rushing yards. That is exactly 6 yards a carry and 2 house calls as well. I mean, it seemed like whenever the Ravens' passing attack went flat, all they had to do was just hand the ball to Derrick Henry, and he would just literally push around the Michael Parsons and the Trayvon Diggses of the world.
Yeah.
That's really all I got. As far as the Cowboys, you're now 1-2. I mean, heck, the Commanders are technically doing better. So this has just been a weird week. And the Ravens, obviously, like you say, winning 20-25. Cowboys rally, but they also fall short. I mean, you got to give them credit for the rally, but that's such a tease.
You know, now, I do want to touch on this rally because I think there's two sides of the coin that you can look at this. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the Cowboys still able to make this fourth quarter comeback and have them give themselves a chance to at the very least tie the game or just win the game in general. 19 unanswered in the fourth quarter, but still losing. Does this, I mean, you have the Cowboys being down so much to a good team, a Super Bowl contending team, and that's been their biggest flaw is that they can't compete against Super Bowl contending winning teams, or they just can't win against Super Bowl contending teams. And on the Ravens side, you're up 28-6 going into the fourth quarter, and once again, you blow a fourth quarter lead. This has happened so many times for the Ravens, where they're up big by double-digit points in the fourth quarter, and boom, it's gone. It happened multiple times last year. It's happened so many times in the John Harbaugh era. It's pretty ridiculous at this point. And this is just the tip of the iceberg if we're looking at collapses from the Ravens.
Yeah, John Harbaugh, I view he and Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers as two sides of the same choking coin. The only difference is that Harbaugh has a ring. Then again, that ring, what was that, the 2012 season?
2012, yep.
Yeah, 2012. And that one ring has obviously earned him his keep in Baltimore. But as of late, I don't know, like, you saw what happened week one against Kansas City. Yeah, lost by a literal toe. The Raiders, you lost then to the Raiders, who, by the way, for those of you keeping track at home, that was another comeback. The Raiders scored 26 points, and 20 of those points came in the second half, 13 coming in the fourth quarter, and now this. Why is this happening? This should not be happening. And like literally, what is it at this point? And honestly, you could say it's a Lamar thing, and everybody does say it's a Lamar thing, but I'm going to say something that's taboo in the football world. We need to start looking at Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, but he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. A Super Bowl. A as in one.
A and Super Bowl that he almost blew.
Yeah, that he almost blew. A Super Bowl that, if my memory serves me right, I was in fifth grade when he won that. And since you're a year older than me, Chris, you were in sixth grade when they won that Super Bowl. So, have we considered that maybe he's not an elite head coach, that maybe that was a flash in the pan? I mean, he's good, but like you said, they almost blew that. So, look, I mean, the Ravens, take your win, enjoy it, but you are also still 1-2.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw it. There was Marlon Humphrey went on live on Instagram after the game, and they're on the flight home trying to get a video of Lamar, and Lamar basically just told him to shut the shit down, because obviously you could tell from Lamar he was pissed that they're 1-2. He was pissed that they almost blew the lead again to begin with, and that's kind of what you need, is your quarterback to get pissed off at this point, because if you're the Ravens, none of this should be, you shouldn't be 1-2. You should at the very least be 2-1.
No. I would say that they need to be 3-0. That's the thing. And I'm happy that Lamar is like that. He knew that the Cowboys just tripped over themselves. Otherwise, the Ravens would have choked again. And Lamar knows it. But that is concerning how Marlon Humphrey, considered on the upper echelon of corners, considered a good team guy, is all smiles and stuff. The fact this isn't weighing on him is, to put it mildly, pretty concerning.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least Lamar is stepping up and being a leader. That's a good sign. But you wonder what the vibe is around the rest of the team, though, regardless of that. But that's all I really have for that game. You have anything else to add?
No, I don't. Other than that, if somehow Baltimore doesn't win the division, or if they miss the playoffs, Harbaugh has to go. No ifs, ands, or buts. And by the way, Tuck said the same thing.
Yeah. And he said it week one. He said it week one.
Yeah.
We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go over oh man, what a game in New Orleans. The Eagles getting the win by the neck of their, whatever you want to call it. We'll be back after the break. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, CJ Madeiro, says we go into one of our, probably should have been games of the week, our Fumble Rooski game of the week, but it's the Philadelphia Eagles and the New Orleans Saints. The Eagles winning in an absolute slobber knocker in New Orleans, 15-12. It was 3-0 going into the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, 26 points scored in total from both sides. Philly with 15 in the fourth. And Saquon was the big turning point of this game. He completely took over. Dallas Goedert, they finally got him involved in the offense. Saquon, 17 carries, 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. Dallas Goedert, 10 catches, 170 yards. Jalen Hurts did lose a fumble, which we'll talk about that in a moment. Saints, very surprising offensive output for them. I want to start with the Saints first before we really get into the meat and potatoes about the Eagles. But with the way that the Eagles defense had been performing the last 2 weeks, and the way that the Saints offense is performing with new offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, it was very surprising that they only were able to put up 12 points in total. And Derek Carr, with the only touchdown, scored in this game. It was a touchdown pass to Chris Olave, and that one was pretty late in the game too. But it's really the only points, the majority of the points that the Saints scored all day.
Yeah, it's true. And one of our co-hosts, you people know at home, Adam, said, so long as you have a Derek Carr on your team, you have a ceiling. And I agreed, although I was hesitant because, you know, 40 pieces back-to-back weeks in week one and week two, they ran into a wall right now. And you know, you weren't going to ride that high forever. They were going to lose at some point. But now, we need to start evaluating the Saints team. And I am not ready to whip out the fraud term yet, because next Sunday, September 29th, they are going to visit Atlanta to play the Falcons. And I think if they lose that in another ugly fashion like they do here, then we probably need to talk. But as it sits right now, this is a very concerning loss because, like you said, the Saints' offense was humming and the Eagles' defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. But this instead was just an ugly game. If you're the Saints, go back to the drawing board and just try to keep pushing through, because regardless, I do think Clint Kubiak is a better offensive coordinator this time than Pete Carmichael was last year. But all I'm going to say is if you lose this next game, then it might be time to panic.
I'm not panicking just yet, just because after the Falcons, still have also have the Chiefs, the Bucks, and the Broncos, and one of them is Monday Night Football against the Chiefs, and then Thursday night against the Broncos 2 weeks later. I would say I'm not going to be concerned until we get past the Broncos game and see where we're at that point, because Falcons are still trying to figure it out themselves. Saints basically have to go in there without making any mistakes, which is just, that's just how it is with the Chiefs. Can't make any mistakes against them, or else they're going to make you pay. Tampa Bay, they have a pretty weak defense right now, especially in the secondary, and the Broncos are the Broncos. So I would say let's reevaluate them when we get to that point. And this is just one of those games that, you know, you just couldn't figure it out today. You just couldn't figure it out. That's kind of how I see it more with the Saints. I'm not going to be worried until we get to week eight. If they're like 3-4 by the time we get to week eight, maybe we start worrying. But I think that they can, at the very least, I think they can definitely get a win against the Falcons. They could potentially get themselves a win against the Bucks, and they get themselves a win against the Broncos. It's this Chiefs game that's kind of scaring me for
it. Yeah, if they aren't 500 by week eight, I am going to be concerned. I mean, I am mildly concerned, but it's not world-ending. Like I said, if they lose to the Falcons, I might have to raise my eyebrow a bit. It's just that, like you said, these are all winnable games. So if you drop a few of these next ones, I'm going to be confused.
Yeah. On the Eagles side, oh, man. I know that the Eagles won, but this is still a very terrible look for Nick Sirianni. There was a point where they had five straight possessions in this game where they ended in New Orleans territory and they didn't get any points. One of them being one of the stupidest coaching decisions that I've seen this year. And it was like 13 seconds or whatever left in the second quarter. And they decide that they're going to go with the tush push, but hold on. They decide not to do the tush push and just do a sweep. Sweep it with Saquon, and they get no yards. And they also had one timeout left. So basically, what you're trying to go for is get the fourth down conversion, take a shot at the end zone, and then if you don't get in the end zone there, then you just kick the three. Whereas you're that's the whole thing right there. You're most likely gonna take the three anyways. And Nick Sirianni says, you know, we're gonna go for it, see if we can get six, even though our offense has sucked all day. Let's see if we can get that. And just multiple times where Nick Sirianni should have just taken the points at that point, and he didn't. Fourth down conversions, Philly went 1 for 3. Jalen Hurts also had an intercept. This wasn't even a good Jalen Hurts game. And this game basically came down to Marshawn Lattimore and what's his face colliding with each other to set up Dallas Goedert for the 50-yard catch and run, which ensued with a Saquon touch. That's basically why the Eagles ended up winning today. Besides the defense showing up.
Mm-hmm. Now let's take a step back here and look at the bigger picture. Eagles are 2-1, but Christ Almighty, is it the softest 2-1 I've ever seen. And I have said many times on this show, I take issue with the term a win is a win is a win. Because there's a difference between a win and a convincing win. You beat the Packers in Brazil. It was a one-score game, high-scoring shootout down to the wire. Then for your one loss on the year, you out-falconed the Falcons. You blew it. You choked. And here, I mean, yeah, I know the Saints are supposedly a really good team, but your roster is better at damn near every position. And you escaped the Bayou 15-12. That is bad. That is very bad. And like Chris mentioned, if Lattimore and that other defender don't collide with each other, you lose that game. These are not convincing wins. These are, in fact, the worst kind of wins. The wins that raise more questions than they answer. And let's talk about the offense, shall we? Old Jalen Hurts did not have that good of a game, I think. I mean,
Jalen Hurts currently has worse stats than Daniel Jones this year.
And that's the truth. 29 of 38, 311 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. Like, cool. You know, you're airing the ball out. That's super. Your completion percentage is good. That's super. So here's what you're doing. You're just marching them up and down the field aimlessly, but you're not getting points out of it. No touchdown passes, no rushing touchdowns, but you did have a pick. In fact, both of the touchdowns came from Saquon. If you do not have Saquon, you do not win this game. And it's nice that you finally got Dallas Goedert involved, but, you know, but like I said, like, that one chunk play was literally more of the Saints falling over themselves literally than you actually doing something. And also, don't look now, Philly, but Devontae Smith is hurt. Yeah. The team that was already missing A.J. Brown now might be without Devontae Smith. So,
I will say
for
that
Philly, it might get worse before it gets better.
I will say there was a cheap shot on Devonta Smith. That
it totally was. But whether or not it was a cheap shot doesn't change.
Doesn't matter
that they're gonna be without him.
It's just crazy how you got Devonta Smith, helmet pops off after a pretty not great hit, and then all of a sudden you got some jackass on the Saints coming in to clean him out while he's already on the ground with his helmet off. And then you got Derwin James that gets a one-game suspension for a hit to the head. And nothing on this guy from the Saints. It's insane. But, Jalen Hurts, let me rephrase about Jalen Hurts. He does have more passing yards and a better completion percentage than Daniel Jones. But Daniel Jones has more touchdown passes and less turnovers than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Also, do you remember that stat that I shared on Sunday, perchance?
A about Jalen Hurts having the most turnovers since 23.
Yes.
Are you saying most turnovers since last season?
Yes. Since last season, 2023, there is no quarterback that has more turnovers than Jalen Hurts, and he has 26. That includes interceptions and fumbles.
Yeah. Like more than Josh Allen, which is crazy. Yeah. Eagles need to step it up. That is, that's the long and the short of it. They're so lucky that they have Saquon. It's not even funny. They are so, so lucky.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, we were just talking about the Cowboys. We're now talking about the Eagles. Honestly, I would say that even though both of them are considered to be the top two teams in their division, they should probably both get rid of their head coach.
Yep.
Because it seems that McCarthy and Sirianni are not going to cut it.
No, they are not. Any last thoughts on this before we move on?
No.
We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we have our week three, top three, bottom three. Did any of the upsets make it to the top three? And did any of the teams that got upset make it to the bottom three? Well, there was a lot of them, and we could only choose three. We'll have some honorable mentions along with it. You're listening to the Full Maruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Full Maruski Podcast, Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting, Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros, as we have our week three, top three, bottom three. Big, big upset weekend for the NFL this week. And right off the bat, Carolina Panthers being our first team in the top three, winning 36-22 with Andy Dalton stepping in as the starter. Going 26 for 37, 319 yards, three touchdowns. Chuba Hubbard, 21 carries, 114 yards. The Panthers in general, 131 yards on the ground. Deontay Johnson, 8 catches, 122 yards and a touchdown. And, I mean, the only downside with the Panthers here is that it's you've kind of now proven that it's a Bryce Young problem, but at the same time, two things can be true at once, where Bryce Young got put in a shitty situation, and thus he sucked, but got benched 18, 19 games into his NFL career, which you hate to see it for him, but, you know, business is business.
Yeah, that's true. And Andy Dalton, through one game, already has better stats than Bryce Young in both games. In fact, the Panthers, correct me if I'm wrong, had two wins last year, did they not?
Yep.
And Andy Dalton was responsible for one of them. So two of Carolina's last three wins were because of Andy Dalton. And Trae Young, I keep saying Trae Young because I think of the basketball player. This is not the first time I've done this. What the hell? Bryce Young, probably because Bryce is just that forgettable, is, I think, only has three touchdown passes in his last 11 games or his last nine games or some ridiculous number like that. Andy Dalton has three touchdowns just in their last game alone. And Bryce Young just might not be cut out for football. I mean, I want him to do well. I really do. But, you know, I remember hearing when Bryce Young was benched, it was called, and I quote, more of a timeout. You know, for him to just calm down, collect himself, and, you know, come back later. But then head coach Dave Canales said, and I quote, that Andy Dalton gives us our best chance to win. I mean, it sucks for Bryce, but yeah, no, that was a very different team out there. I mean, granted, it was against the Raiders, and I'm not expecting Carolina to go to the playoffs. But, hey, I mean, hats off to them. They shocked the world. They got their first win. They looked like a very different team, and they looked good doing it.
Yeah, and this was a I mean, when you got in here, this is the mentality, really. You know, when you got a quarterback get subbed in, that's clearly better than what you have going for you, especially in any sort of veteran leadership such as Andy Dalton. I mean, look at the Browns last year. You had Joe Flacco come in and they played their minds off. And same thing with the Panthers this past week. Andy Dalton comes in, that veteran leadership, kind of a refresher for the Panthers, and they're able to get the win and a big morale win, if anything. But it's interesting to see what the Panthers end up working with the next couple weeks. Can assume that Andy Dalton's probably going to start week four, but we'll see.
By the way, I don't care what anyone says, because we keep hearing this, right? About, you know, how Bryce is totally the guy. No, I'm sorry, Carolina, there's officially a QB controversy, you know?
Yeah.
They say there's not, but there is.
Next on the list is the Ravens. We really touched on this a lot during the Ravens-Cowboys recap. It's just a big win that they had. Go 1-2 on the season. They make it so, and also a big win against what should have been a playoff contending team against the Cowboys on the road in Dallas. And Dallas is usually a really good team at home, but have shown that they're not a good team at home now. But that's for another conversation. But in general, you finally got Derrick Henry going in the run game. He finally went off, and that's kind of what the Ravens need to do, is just revolve this freaking offense around Derrick Henry. It's literally, besides Lamar Jackson, that is literally your best offensive player.
Yeah, pretty much. And they were showing that when they hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, gasp, things work. Who would have thunk?
Last team on the top three, the Washington Commanders. I mean, the Commies got a good one in Jaden Daniels. Obviously, we talked about this during the Commies Bengals recap. They had an amazing, I'm not expecting many more games like this, but in terms of the future, Commanders fans have a lot to be happy about, especially with the way Jaden Daniels played.
Oh, absolutely. I really do believe that they got a good one. I was a big Jaden Daniels fan, you know, coming out of the draft. And honestly, yeah, I can definitely see them having a bright future with this guy, getting the upset win over Cincy. But as far as Cincy goes, it might be time to tighten up here, or at least invest in a coaching change.
Yeah. Bottom three. Speaking of coaching changes, we're going to lead off with the Jaguars. Good golly. For starters, you get blown out on primetime on the road. You got so bad, you had to put Mac Jones in, or you put Mac Jones in, and he didn't do anything either. Trevor Lawrence got sacked 4 times. And at this point, you could say all you want about the coaching, but I think this is starting to turn to just as much of a Trevor Lawrence problem as it is a coaching problem. I said this last week during our Friday preview that at this point, there comes a time where everything around Trevor Lawrence can be bad. But if you're also the number one overall pick, this is your third or fourth year, whatever year it is, where you're starting to become a veteran in the league and you're still not playing up to standards, granted with everything around you, then some of the blame start, like, if you haven't stepped up, you haven't stepped up. And that's basically the matter of the fact here. Trevor Lawrence has the same stats as Daniel Jones.
Actually worse, but yeah.
Still. Doug Peterson, I don't know when the Jags bye week is, but Doug Peterson's on borrowed time.
And when it comes to Jacksonville, we have said this since last season. Your offensive coordinator, Press Taylor, why does he still have a job? I could not tell you this. There is no reason that he does. He is, when it comes to offensive success, Press Taylor is a roadblock made human. He should not be there. And it is looking incredibly likely that Doug Peterson, when he was hired, was nothing more than an uninspired retread. That is all.
Jags have their bye week, week 10. Let's see if he makes it to week 10, honestly, because this is gone from bad to worse in Jacksonville. Next team on the list, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jeez, yeah. I mean, to the Bucs' defense, they're being up on defense, but offensively, they couldn't get anything going. Less than 100 yards on the ground. Bucky Irving had himself a pretty good game. 9 carries, 70 yards. Baker Mayfield had an all right day, but they also allowed 7 sacks, and that was really the big killer. And they let Bo Nix go off on you, and you couldn't commit. You couldn't force really any turnovers at all. Actually, one to on a fumble, but it's really it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. I know that Tampa's beating up on defense, but that was just straight up embarrassing.
Yeah.
There is no silver lining to this. There is no saving grace. You're cooked. Or, I mean, at least for that week. Why did you let Bo Nix look that good? And even if the defense is beaten up, that should not translate to the offense. You know, one bad side of the ball does not make two bad sides.
Yeah.
It's just me, though.
Last team on the list, the Houston Texans. This is a pretty much a given, 34-7, the final. And they just got ran through, just got absolutely ran through. CJ Stroud, 20 for 31, touchdown, 2 interceptions. This Vikings team in general is going to be for real. I don't think this is going to be a huge roadblock for the Texans. You knew that they're going to end up getting a bad loss somewhere. And, you know, at the same time, sometimes you just got to get it out of the way early.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree. I do. It's just, what? Why did this happen? And don't look now, and I'm not going to start any nonsense, but what's going on with the Vikings? They're 3-0. Are they fluky? Are they for real? Nobody knows. That's the fun.
Yeah. I guess if we wanted to go back to the top three and go through some honorable mentions, here's the Vikings for you. They're here. Sam Darnold is here. They're 3-0. They're top the NFC North. They could contend.
I believe you me when I say I have no idea how Darnold's doing it. And let's play a hypothetical real quick. If it turns out it's not a mirage and he takes you to the playoffs, right? Maybe wins a playoff game. Do you have a QB controversy? Just food for thought. Because I know you spent a first rounder on McCarthy, but once again, common sense dictates you ride the hot hand.
Yeah. You ride the hot hand and see what it looks like next year. I mean, even if you sit JJ for a year, that's not the worst. Or if you sit JJ for next year, that's not the worst thing in the world, but see what happens in training camp. Another team in the top three for honorable mention that I want to point out, the Green Bay Packers, going 2-0 with Malik Willis. And I mean, it's really a toss up on if Jordan Love will actually play sometime soon. They don't have him on IR. They kind of just keep having him questionable every single week, just to throw off teams just in case. But I mean, I ended up calling it last week. Matt LaFleur is going to do the same thing this week that he did last week against the Colts and just make the other quarterback make all the mistakes. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson make made all the mistakes. Will Levis made all the mistakes. Will Levis had two interceptions, also a fumble that was lost. And what do the Packers do? Make no mistakes.
Yeah. And I feel like, Chris, respectfully, you're underselling it. You see, when I think of mistake, you know, not just not make mistakes, I think of playing not to lose more than playing not to win.
Yeah.
They were taking shots. They were using trick plays. That was a team that's playing to win. And and Malik Willis didn't look like a guy in bubble wrap just trying not to screw up. He was taking his shots. He looked like a quarterback. Like, he's shaking the Tennessee stench off him, as shown when he absolutely curb stomped him. So, you know what? Good for him. And I know there's technically no QB controversy yet, but you are 2-0 with Malik Willis, and you did lose one with Jordan Love. Just going to leave that there.
All right.
I know there's not, but I like to screw with Packers fans. Yeah.
Spin zone it. But I think this Green Bay game is also says a larger narrative to how important coaching has been in the first 3 weeks of the season as well.
LaFleur's been a great coach, I think.
LaFleur is a great coach, but I think just looking at the first three games of the season in the NFL, and the first 3 weeks of the season in the NFL, like, good coaching is going a long, long way right now. And it starts with teams like the Packers. One more team I kind of want to highlight in the top three, the LA Rams, down their last breath, just barely by the skin of their teeth, they're able to get the win, 27-24. And this was a Juwan Jennings game as well on the Niners side, 11 receptions, 175 yards. The Rams couldn't really, I mean, they were able to move the ball around in the air a little bit, but this offense wasn't getting a lot done for the majority. And really, it just came down to just outlasting the Niners in the end. And it's odd, too, because Kyle Shanahan is usually the one that has Sean McVay's number, at least in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, it's the other way around. So.
True.
Or do I have that wrong? Honestly,
I don't know. Perhaps. However, Chris.
Those two face each other so much that it's hard to really know who has the upper hand. Anyways.
Well, yeah. I mean, they are in the division, in the same division. So
exactly.
That tends to happen.
Yeah.
However, do you know what happened in that game? Stop me if you've heard this one before. Another Kyle Shanahan choke job.
Yep.
He is the Harbaugh of. Or the John Harbaugh, at least, of the NFC. It is embarrassing what's happening. And I don't know what it's going to take. Oh, and by the way, Niners, I'll give you some more good news. Your star defensive tackle, Javon Hargrave, is hurt. A tricep tear. He's done for the year. So we'll throw him in that same pile as Christian McCaffrey, who's on IR, but I've heard is going to come back. They're just shutting him down for a bit. All right. What was it, like week six or whatever? He's going to come back. So we're going to throw him in that same pile as Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and Debo Samuel. And also, Trent Williams, the big man, one of the best tackles to ever do it, is hurt. I don't know what his injury is. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but for the Niners, don't look now, but this might be a repeat of 2020, where for some reason, everybody and their mother has officially decided, you know what, let's all get hurt at the same time, because you can't have anything good anymore.
Yeah. Niners are getting hurt like it's 2020. Rams are getting hurt like it's 2022. NFC West is wide open right now, especially with the Seahawks being 3-0. One more, I mean, Niners, obviously candidate, honorable mention for bottom three, but they're just so banged up that it's really hard to even consider them bottom three for this week. Another candidate for top three, the New York Giants, 21-15 win. And another candidate for the bottom three, the Cleveland Browns. It's bad when people start saying that they would rather Daniel Jones over Deshaun Watson, and that Deshaun Watson may just be a better person than he is a quarterback. It's bad.
No. Deshaun Watson, I think, is a better person than he is a quarterback.
Yep.
And you don't want to say it, but it's true. And if you know what kind of creature Deshaun Watson may or may not be, then yeah, that's not impressive. Oh, and by the way, I wouldn't be doing my due diligence as a podcast co-host if I didn't mention Deshaun Watson's QBR is a 22.5. He has more accusers than a higher QBR rating. I think his accusers is like 28, 29. His QBR is 22.5. Cleveland, you messed up. You messed up bad. It might be over. Just burn it all down. That's all I got for you.
Yeah. And that's kind of that's all I really have for that. That is currently our final scheduled, that's our scheduled content for today. I mean, we could quickly go through Thursday Night Football if you want, CJ, if you got time.
You know what? Sure. There is one thing though.
Yes.
That I did want to bring up real quick. Do we all agree watching that was a penalty in the Falcons Chiefs game?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. I just wanna, like I said, you know, we don't want to be that guy ever, but we at the Fumble Rooski podcast ran a poll, right? Because, you know, I mentioned we did it for the Bengals game. And for the record, we all know Bengals was ticky tack. So if you think that was PI, then you should almost certainly think what the Chiefs did was he was literally hugging. What was it? Kyle Pitts?
It was Kyle Pitts.
He was hugging him in the end zone, playing the man, not the ball. Wasn't even looking at the ball. So, yeah, 90% said it was. 10% said it wasn't because, you know, some characters just have to be different. In case you're wondering, that's 262 votes for yes and 28 votes for no and 28 people that need a CAT scan. Yeah. But, yeah, no. This is the second week in a row where Kansas City may have gotten bailed out by an interesting call or lack thereof. So, yeah. We're just going to leave that there.
Yep. And then
so Thursday night preview?
Yeah. Derwin James being suspended for one game. And you guessed it, Chargers are facing the Chiefs next week. Thursday night football. Shocking. Week 4's Thursday night matchup. It's an NFC East rivalry, the Dallas Cowboys against the New York Giants at MetLife. Honestly, I kind of forgot this was a Thursday night game, so this is probably going to be a very short preview. Cowboys, all roads would point to that this is your get-right game. This is the game to beat up on your division rival like the Giants. But for all we know, the Giants might even come out swinging. But if we know it, if we've seen anything from the last few years, Cowboys have had the Giants number pretty exclusively.
Yeah.
Spreads at 4.5. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys win this by double digits.
Yeah. I mean, I know the Giants just beat Cleveland, but it's Cleveland. And after Dallas's fourth quarter rally, I don't know what to make of them anymore, but just going off rosters, it should be Dallas. I don't trust the Giants, especially not primetime Daniel Jones. Turf monster might get him again, if you know, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good callback right there. But that'll do it for us this evening. New episode coming out on Friday at 5. New episodes, obviously, Tuesdays at 7:30, Friday at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. And be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with our podcast, along with our TikTok, FumbleRooski Pod, and to keep up with the podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we will see you next week. We'll see you on Friday for the Week 4 NFL preview. From Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros, we say so long, over and out.